Hello everyone, this is Robert Stark. I am joined here today with Natalia Kochakova. She blogs at Emma the Emo. Natalia, it's nice having you on the show.
And thank you for inviting me to your show. It's a pleasure. If you are curious about the pronunciation, it's Natalia Kochakova.
So you live in Norway, but you're originally from Russia.
Yes, I moved in here to Norway in 2001.
So what has your experience been like living in Norway, and what was your life like growing up in Russia, and what are some of the biggest differences that you've noticed living in Norway?
Well, I noticed a lot of interesting differences. I noticed just being nicer in Norway. However, I'm not sure I like to begin with, because I didn't really mind a certain level of bitchiness, if you can call it that, in Russia, because it made things more fun, I suppose. And when people are very polite and reserved, I don't know where they stand, and life becomes a little boring. But on the other hand, the teachers were nice. And in Russia, they sometimes were very unpleasant, the teachers. And that is one thing I liked about Norway more. Let me think about it more.
Would you say Norwegians are genuinely nice people, or do you think it's a sort of a superficial politeness?
I don't think they're just superficially nice, but they tend to be reserved and polite. I'm not entirely sure how to say if it's the way they are or it's a superficial difference.
So, how long have you been blogging for, and what originally got you interested in blogging?
I've been blogging since 2011, I think. And originally I started this blog as a joke, because I recently became the girlfriend of this guy named Ivan Barge, and nobody believed that he really had a girlfriend.
Oh, they thought
everybody was saying
you were a fake girlfriend made up. But that's what they thought about Ivan. Because no one thought.
Well, they thought that he made me up because he's been alone for so long. Somebody said that he just went crazy from loneliness or something. And I don't know. It was just a mean kind of assumption. Well, I started the blog saying, "Yeah, I'm his imaginary girlfriend," and it was just I started it as a joke. But later.
So originally, when you met Ivan, originally they thought he created your blog as a joke.
He was saying on his blog, my blog didn't exist back then, that yes, I got a girlfriend, and I posted on his blog as well. But a lot of people posted mean-spirited comments saying that I'm not real. And after that, I kind of went along with it and made a blog. And the first blog post was about me saying that I'm his imaginary girlfriend. Yeah, it's
so
just a silly little blog post.
Yeah, how did you originally discover his blog? First of all, for people who don't know who he is, explain to our audience who Ivan Berga is, if people don't know who he is.
For people who don't know who he is?
Yeah, give kind of an introduction and how you discovered him.
Should I answer first how I discovered him or who he is?
I guess
in short,
how
summary.
You discovered him.
Okay. I think I discovered him somewhere on some kind of snark blog. You know, those who make fun of people with various opinions, like religious people and anti-feminists as well. I think it was on Fundy Say the Darndest Things, but I'm not sure because it's been a while since then. And I think, if I'm correctly assuming that it's that side of Fundy, there was a quote by him there. And people were making fun of it and saying how wrong it is and stuff like that. No. Eventually, to begin with, I agreed with them. But after a while, I changed my opinion. Should I go on, or?
Sure. What was your initial reaction to his blog? Were you disturbed? Were you saying, were you disturbed by it at first, and then you changed your mind?
Essentially, yes. Essentially, yes. That's essentially how it went. Essentially how it went. Also. Well, yes.
So what specifically about his blog did you find the most disturbing or offensive at first?
Let me think. Let me think. It's been a while since then, but I think it was the whole thing where he said that. His argument essentially was that since feminists are okay with using affirmative positions of power, usually and naturally by men, then why not give up? Because of that, the initially pretty disturbing argument meant.
So say you partially agree and partially disagree. You have a kind of a nuanced disagreement with him.
About what exactly do you mean?
About his argument. There's some things about that you agreed with and some things disagreed with. Was that how you, your overall reaction to his blog was?
Well, to begin with, I completely agreed. Plus, you to understand that before that, I didn't really think about feminism. I just, as an average person, accepted its main philosophy, so to speak. So anybody who calls anti-feminist is already would have raised my gun, even though now I think that way. And because of that, I saw everything he wrote through a lens of an average feminist, pretty much. An average person who lives in the West.
So what was it about him that got you involved with him? Was there something about it really attracted him to you?
Well, just a while I started reading him, understanding his arguments, and seeing that actually he's kind of right about many things. And the thing that attracted to me, I guess, was the fact that he was saying that he hasn't got laid in a while, and that was pretty much what attracted me, really. Desperation, I suppose.
But usually there's a perception, the perception is that usually would be a, most women would say that would be a turnoff. Are you saying that you're different than the sort of, the perception that most women are?
Well, I told about this attraction factor to other women and really seemed to understand it. It didn't really catch on like I thought. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, usually the perception is usually desperation is a turnoff. So you've, what specifically about that, are you saying you're not, you're saying you're different than the perception that most women are when it comes to the type of men you're attracted to?
In the manner sphere, perhaps that's true. When it comes to mainstream, I don't know what people think about what people are, I mean, what women are supposed to be attracted to, so that's my answer. yeah?
So, when, how did you, so you originally, you met him in person, what was your first reaction, your first initial reaction to him, and meeting him in person, as opposed to knowing him online, his online presence?
Well, online, he appeared more serious, and I guess, well, serious is the word. Well, in real life, I was really pleasant, cute, and non-threatening, and that's really something I liked as well. And yeah, that's what.
Would you say people? I think people who are kind of very polite and introverted in real life. Would you? I think they often like develop sort of dark alter egos, like online personas or dark personas in their writings. Would you say that's true?
I'm not sure. I mean, how we appear online is often very different from how we appear in real life. But I'm not sure about the darkness specifically. However, internet does allow you to say things that perhaps you wouldn't say in real life. However, I'm not sure how that works if you are not on.
Yeah, I mean, because he wrote under his real name. A lot of people who write controversial stuff say it under a pseudonym. I mean, I use my real name, but I don't necessarily. I mean, I don't really view myself as controversial by myself, but I've certainly interviewed a lot of controversial people. But I use my real name. But he wrote under his real name, which a lot of writers don't.
Yes, that's true. But I think he didn't think he had much to lose anyway. Which is true. He only gained from being non-anonymous, you know. So it was a good idea in this case.
Yeah. Oh, you wrote this article. I know you wrote an article on one of the sites called Just for Guys called What Happens When You Date an Angry Incel, guest posted by Miss Emma. Did they invite you to write that post? How did they initially contact you?
Well, I was already posting on their site many times, and after a writer named Obsidian heard my story, he became interested and then asked me to write an explanation of how this happens really quickly. So I did, and I added some of my own thoughts, which were about the relevant issue of the time, which was this Elliot Rodger shooting. So that's how it was. Yeah.
Did they try to make a comparison between the shooter and Ivan? Did they try to say their similarities?
I'm not sure if they did that. They were just curious about my story and how it worked out. It was actually Ivan himself who read the Elliot Rodger's manifesto and said that he reminded him of himself when he was younger, except he's not as political or something like that. And he said that, yes, perhaps if there was some woman who had sex with him then, he wouldn't have shot all those people. That's what he said. As for me, I am not sure how far the similarity really goes, because Elliot Rodger seemed to have different ideas. Like, he really did seem a little bit narcissistic to me, but I'm not sure. It's just the way it appears.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell because some people genuinely are narcissistic, and some people are narcissistic to cover up for their low self-esteem. So it's hard to tell. But the public reaction to that Elliot was that he was a narcissist. But I also it's some people pretend to be narcissistic when they're really covering their low self-worth. Oh, you wrote that the argument that someone is either evil or mentally ill. Is that what you wrote about in that article?
Oh yeah, I wrote about it because when something like this happens, a lot of people say that he wasn't really ill. So I'm not so sure about that anymore. My boyfriend explained to me that didn't appear, then he would have come out on a street and discreetly blended with a crowd and then slashed some cops' throats. That's what he said he would do, and I believe him.
But and since did that make it into the news in Norway? Because I know that's what got him.
Yeah, actually.
He did
that did.
For that?
Well, he didn't for saying that. He went to jail for something else. he basically insisted that, well, you know how he views cops as the enforcers of feminist law, that, among other things, caused him to be, to not be able to even buy a prostitute, because it's because of that he was very angry at the cops, and he said that cop murder is something that is harmonious with what he stands for, and because of that, and because we recently had a terrorist attack, you know, by Anders Breivik, the cops decided that he was dangerous enough to just grab and arrest.
Did he, and he wrote about Anders Breivik, I'm not sure if he said, I think they had some of the same arguments, but I mean, Anders Breivik was more focused on the issue of, his main issue was Islam and Islamic immigration, but he'd also, there's some like overlap in the topics that they wrote about.
I suppose, but I think mostly what he wrote about Breivik was that, well, he was happy that the Norwegian government got hit even for their kids somehow, even though he didn't condone the murder of innocent people. And that was what he wrote about him. That also caused a little shitstorm.
So what specifically got Ivan arrested? It was making the threats against the cops.
No, he didn't make any threats. It was something they called incitement to violence, or incitement to something criminal. Although they later looked at the case and realized that he didn't really do anything illegal. I think they knew he wasn't doing anything illegal. They just, well, they felt it was worth it to arrest a guy and hold him for a while to... and check his computer and books and stuff like that, just to check that he's not going to murder anyone. That's what they did, I believe. And it was especially important to them to do it right after this terrorist attack, because, well, during the terrorist attack, I think they made a bunch of mistakes which slowed their arrival at that island where kids were getting shot, and they looked a little bad, and they didn't want to look bad again. So they thought we'd rather overreact than underreact. That's what I think.
So back to Ivan, you wrote about, you have an article called Why I Am With Ivan Berga, and you write about how he treats you with, you said, care and kindness and respect, and he respects to you and tries to make you happy. Would you say he's probably one of the kindest person that you've known?
Well, he really is. He does have strong opinions and does have passion for certain political issues, but he's not a bad person. He's a good person to people around him. Well, important people around him, and also, well, good to people like strangers, I guess. I don't know how to say it. Yeah.
Why do you think he's sort of had such his online reputation? Like, a lot of people view him as being dangerous. How do you think that came into being?
Well, I think he expressed opinions that other people would have kept to themselves. And he was also public about it, rather than anonymous.
Would you say you have an interest in sort of a dark interest in dark topics? Specifically?
Well, yeah, I've always been a fan of horror movies.
I see this. You like... Yeah, well, I've seen, like, Hostel, and I've seen... What's the other one? Saw, but... Oh, you even like The Human Centipede, Pete. I mean, that's... I don't think I can watch that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I actually watched it with Ivan, but he didn't like it.
Oh, and you make comics.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
What would you say is the overall theme in your comics? Would you say there's a theme of violence and stories about junkies and?
Yeah, well, I do have one comic that I'm making, which is kind of an adventure kind of thing. But yeah, there is violence, and there is humor about it, and various things like that. For junkies, I don't know, I just like the topic of that.
Do some of the comics
have humor? Yeah. A little bit, but I try not to put too much of that in there, because people don't like being bludgeoned over the head with your political views when they're trying to be entertained. So it's mostly for entertainment and some drama, but not too much politics.
Have you sold? Do you do it just as a hobby, or have you sold your work? Are you working on doing that as a living and selling your comics professionally?
Well, in the past, I did sell some comics. I didn't make that much money on it, but my comics were run in a newspaper. It was actually a Christian newspaper, and the comics were just short little strips, like with a little humor at the end where you're supposed to laugh. And they were not dark at all, and that is something which is kind of ironic, me making humorous short little comics for a Christian newspaper. When it comes to my dark comics, I haven't really tried selling them yet, but I am going to see what I can do about them. Perhaps I will just release them and make them free.
And you wrote about, why I used to cut myself, why you used to cut yourself, so that's why you call yourself, emo then.
Oh yeah, it's kind of.
That's true. When did you start cutting yourself?
Well, I did that first time when I was 12 years old. As I said in my post, although I don't remember what it says, but approximately that I did it for fun and because I thought it was cool.
So you didn't do it, did you do it out of anger or depression, or you just did it because you thought it was fun?
I think mostly fun. What I read about cutting is that, even acupuncture can produce some kind of hormone that will make you feel good. So, I assume maybe, if you are talking about the scientific basis behind that, maybe it's because of that.
And you have these pictures, of these African tribes where they actually cut, they're like tattoos, kind of. They cut them all over their face, and their whole body is completely covered into it, but it's basically, it becomes, the scars become permanent, and it's like a tattoo. I did that. Did reading about that specifically interest you in cutting?
No, reading that didn't interest me specifically. I think I just started it in my teen years, and I thought it would look would make me look badass or something if I had cuts or tattoos or something. I killed teenagers, was trying to find some kind of identity, and I think my baby death was a part of it. Maybe liking all those dark things and liking a man nobody else would fuck would is a part of it, a part of this whole identity. I want to be with people who you think
Jabba the Hutt is cute, but Jabba the Hutt isn't even, he's not even human.
What do you mean?
You said you liked fat, were attracted to fat, unattractive basement dwellers, and you even thought that Jabba the Hutt was cute. But he's not even human.
Yeah, but it was kind of a joke, though.
About him being
Oh yeah. But you know, he just looks like the type of human guy I would like to, which is a fat kind of obese basement dweller. But about liking Jabba himself, it's kind of mostly a joke. But he's a cool character, though. Kind of a shame that he got killed by Leia, but yeah.
So yeah, you're saying so. Are you saying attracted? You're talking about your Omega fetish. So do you mean you don't just mean guys who were like socially awkward, or you actually mean you were attracted to guys who were like physically unattractive, like overweight men, or guys with like physical deformities?
Well, yeah. You see, when I was a teenager, I thought this was the only type of guy that would be alone and not liked by anybody else. But when I grew up, I realized that even a fairly attractive guy could be awkward and lonely and stuff like that. So this is where this whole attraction to obesity comes from, I guess. Another unattractive features.
That seems like very, usually, it just seems incredibly unusual. Usually, you don't hear about, usually most people want someone who they find physically attractive. It's not, the concept almost seems kind of alien to me.
Well,
I guess there are men,
well,
I mean, there are men
stuff
who
is attractive.
I guess there's men who have fetishes for fat women.
Yeah.
But have you talked to your friends who are women? Have you told them about that? That you're attracted to men like that? And
about
they were unattractive, and what has their reaction been?
Talking to my friends about it? Some of my friends don't really mind this whole chubby guy thing too. And they agree with me. Well, others think it's not a good thing, and they'd rather have somebody skinny. So I don't think they really think I'm weird or too weird about this, since everybody is weird in some way. And it's not that big of a deal.
And you have this post. Oh, you have a post about it. Good reasons to fuck an Omega or lesser beta male.
Yeah, I did write that.
What did you? But it's kind of your blog has a sort of manosphere theme to it. A lot of the topics that they write about.
Really.
What did you say? Okay, chance of contracting an STD from him are small. He'll be really happy about it. He will get very positively and strongly affect someone's life and feel like a good person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's...
Well, I don't know. I must say that this post is... it is genuine. I really mean what I say. But at the same time, it's supposed to be slightly humorous, at least. When this reason... I give where I say that you get to truly fuck like a man for variety. That's, I mean, I always hear how feminists say that you must fuck like a man, and this is something to aspire to. So I guess it's just a little joke at their expense or so. I don't know, maybe somebody doesn't find it funny because I make jokes all the time that I laugh at, but other people don't get, so...
Would you say you have a unique sense of humor?
I don't know, isn't that a word for bad? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I see this, you have this thing... Oh, there was a time in your life you wanted to look like a man-eating slime monster.
Oh yeah, well, well, I don't know. It's just I think those things are really cool. I mean, wouldn't that be cool to have that ability? Unfortunately, that's only possible in science fiction.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're, I mean, I who knows, but, oh yeah, and you have this other post, why you call yourself an anti-feminist.
Yeah.
So, you developed those views after reading, did you develop those views from knowing Ivan? You're saying you, originally you changed your views on that.
Well, yes, to begin with, you know, after I met him and started dating, then I started questioning him rather a lot, and there are a lot of things I didn't agree with. But he pretty much withstood all the arguments I had, so I looked more into it, and I read more books and posts and everything, and just had to agree that feminism has a rather dark side to it.
What do you see as the darkest side to it? Do you their argument would be that they're in favor of gender equality. If you talk to someone who's a feminist, they would say they want gender equality. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would say that. Well, you asked what the darkest side is. I'm not sure what the darkest side is, but modern feminism does spread misinformation. And a lot of feminists don't seem aware of themselves, what they're talking about. And modern feminism also doesn't seem to know that women's rights end where men's rights begin. Of course, I would have to demonstrate all that to a feminist to say that I'm not, talking out of my ass. But I do have a lot of resources to show, or sources. For example, the redefinition of rape and the way everything is rape now. In the past, you had a relatively sharp definition, but now, if she woke up and doesn't remember what happened, it's probably rape. For example. And in Norway, it's also feminists illegalized the buying of sex, even though selling sex is still legal. And
people do it. I mean, of course they do it anyway.
Yeah, they do it anyway. However, it does lead to bad things anyway. Ivan explained to me that it did make things more expensive. And you also, if you're caught, you have to pay a fine for it. So if you're a somewhat poor, low-status male, you might end up completely sexless. And you can't even buy, give money to a consenting adult to get your basic needs met.
Yeah, so remember that was the strongest argument that Ivan made on his blog. That's the main reason he was angry at a feminist and the Norwegian government.
It was one reason, and was one of the main ones.
And would you notice, with this issue, would you say it's much, feminism is much stronger in Norway than it was in Russia?
I would say yes, although I lived in Russia only until I was about 12 years old, so I didn't experience the full range of life in there, for example, working and going to university and stuff like that. But still, in Norway, it's a lot more a presence in the culture, I would say, while in Russia it's very laid back. I don't think people care that much.
It's you'd say it's a lot less politically correct.
I would say yes.
And Norway,
well, for example, in Russia, it's kind of normal to hear about a woman who sleeps with her boss to gain something. Well, in Norway, that's sexual harassment and must not happen. And if you have if you're a boss and you have sex with somebody who is your employee or something, everybody will look suspiciously at that. I think something like that happened a while ago in some political party, and I gotta say, political parties, even those that are supposed to be less feminist or less socialist, they are very good at attacking their own members for breaking the smallest of rules, of feminist rules. Yeah. But thank you for interviewing me.
Okay.
That was very nice. And I hope it's...
So I would like to thank Natalia Kochakova for being on the show.
And thank you for having me.
Thanks again. That's all we have for today's show, so take care. I'll be back with you next time.